my time as sheriff, I have unfortunately had to stand before you on similar occasions, more times than I care to recount. But today is an unprecedented day here at the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, as well as in the Las Vegas community. Today, I'm sad to report that two of my officers were killed in the line of duty, and an innocent citizen also lost their life.
That was Sheriff Doug Gillespie announcing the ambush shooting of two Metro officers yesterday. As you probably also heard, a bystander at the Walmart on Ellis Boulevard was also shot and killed before police closed in on the shooters. The Clark County coroner this morning identified the bystander as Joseph Wilcox, and the shooters were identified as Jared and Amanda Miller, a couple from Indiana. Details are still very sketchy, but we do know that these officers were targeted because they were police and not because of any action they were taking against their assailants. Joining us now to discuss this and the details is Joe Shaneman, who covered the shooting for the Las Vegas Sun. Joe, welcome back to KNPR.
Thank you.
Who are the officers who were killed?
I don't know. I have the names of the, off the top of my head, but they both of them were veterans, one in his 30s, one in his 40s. Well-known and well-liked in the department. In fact, I just saw an officer at Starbucks this morning where a lot of the police go on Rancho and Charleston, and I told him I was sorry for what happened, and he said he just commented with tears in his eyes that they were both great guys.
Hmm. So far as we know, they had no connection to their killers?
As far as we know,
as
yeah,
far as we
nothing.
Know. And simply targeted because they were wearing uniforms?
Yes.
Yesterday, Sheriff Gillespie also said the motives for the killings were unclear.
What precipitated this event, we do not know. My officers were simply having lunch when the shooting started.
Sheriff Gillespie was speaking at yesterday's press conference. Joe Shaneman, the exact motives are still under investigation, but it seems as if there may have been a political motive for attacking police. What do we know about the shooters and their possible motives? What have you learned to this point?
There have been a lot of rumors. There have been rumors that there was a flag left, some conservative party movement.
This is the Gadsden flag?
Yes. None of that has been confirmed. Mm-hmm. There, CNN, actually somebody from CNN called this morning and said they'd heard there was a manifesto left. I've called. None of that's been confirmed via Metro. But if you remember 6 months or so ago, there was a man and a woman in town who said they were going to kidnap a cop. Unfortunately for them, they were talking to an undercover cop, and they were arrested, and they said they were part of something called the Sovereign Citizens Movement. That might be furtive ground to look into.
Hmm. Police also evacuated the shooter's apartment complex last night. Do you have any sense of what they were looking for or why it was necessary to evacuate the tenants in that complex?
I think to evacuate, maybe they thought there were other people there. I think they were looking for what everybody's wondering is motive. Is this just a random shooting? Is it directed? Is it never going to happen again? Are there connections to other people?
Hmm. Now, also joining us is Las Vegas Review-Journal columnist Steve Sebelius. Steve, welcome back.
Thanks, Dave. Glad to be here.
How is this different from other shootings of police, say the death of Henry Prentice in 2007 or the shooting of Trevor Nettleton in his own home in North Las Vegas?
Well, first of all, the Metropolitan Police Department has never had two officers killed in the line of duty on a single day in a violent incident like this. So it's unique in that sense. It's also unique in the sense that these officers are doing a very ordinary thing. They were there in this restaurant just having lunch, and apparently unprovoked, these two individuals walked up and essentially assassinated both officers for no other reason than they were badge, and they got up and went to work that day. So I think those two things really set it apart, and that's probably why it made national news.
You call this horrible news. At the same time, it was also unanticipated and seemingly left the officers with nothing they could do to defend themselves. It was that abrupt. I imagine a lot of people are asking, how have we come to this?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You wonder, what gets into the mind of a person that they would go and assault two people who have devoted their lives, volunteered for a job where they protect people, where they go and handle domestic calls, and they see people at their absolute worst, and have to deal with some of the worst things imaginable. Why would they target people like that simply because they're representatives of the government, I suppose? But, as Sheriff Gillespie said, we haven't established firmly what their motives were. But wonder what gets into a person's mind that they would be able to justify this. And apparently, according to some of the reporting that I've read in the Review Journal, that they told people they were setting out to do this. This was their plan. This was their intention.
Yeah,
and so it's just it really does bother.
There were stories of neighbors calling the shooters militant and conspiracy theorists and such. Joe Shaneman, what does it say about the community that it harbors people like this, and that there wasn't much being done about it in terms of reporting it to authorities?
A lot of people have asked me about that over the last few hours, and as I was discussing earlier with David here, I think it's the fact that people hear a lot of this stuff, and maybe in that particular area of town, I think there's a lot of. I don't want to single out this area, but there are people there are homeless people, there are mental issues, people with mental illness. People say a lot of things, and I think you hear it enough times, and it sort of becomes background noise. You don't think anything about it. You just think it's another insane person with. It's just talk.
So, Steve Sebelius, is there anything the community could or should do to guard against people who are talking about militant actions, conspiracies and such? What can we do to guard against these people taking the law into their own hands?
Well, I think, Dave, it's important to create a distinction here. On the one hand, it's not illegal to have anti-government thoughts. And to have anti-government views, even racist views that are offensive to the majority of people. That's not illegal. You're an American. You have those rights. But it is important when those thoughts are leading to actions, and this is the thing to figure out, when those thoughts are going to lead to some action that's going to be taken that puts innocent people in jeopardy. I don't think it would be wrong for the Metropolitan Police Department and other law enforcement agencies to investigate groups that have an anti-government ideology to determine whether or not they're actually taking steps to create a danger to the community. That's something that we have to do. It's got to be done very carefully and with sensitivity to people's rights, but society has a right to protect itself. And no one wants to live in the kind of society where you're eating lunch at a pizza parlor and it turns into a deadly gunfight.
Yeah, the account, as I understand it, it was at a pizza parlor on North Nellis Boulevard. The two people believed to have committed the crime entered the restaurant. The woman of the two walked up behind one of the officers, shot him in the head at point-blank range from behind, then turned around and shot the other officer multiple times. Steve Sebelius, it seems to me that an action like that is just so far beyond any of the other stories that we've heard of Las Vegas officers being the victims of shooting. I mean, it seems like it ramps things up a little bit. It also sounds pretty frightening. I mean, what did you make of it when you heard some of these details unfolding?
Well, it was just devastating news. I mean, I reacted, I think, probably as much as the rest of the community did, just in shock. That this kind of thing would happen, and then as the details emerged, as I said, I characterized it as an assassination, not an ambush, not an attack, not a gunfight, but premeditated murder. These folks apparently entered into this restaurant with the intention to do harm to police officers, and you're right, completely random. I mean, the other patrons of that restaurant probably taken by total shock. The people in the Walmart where they retreated after the shooting, the same thing. I mean, you're one minute you're shopping in Walmart, and the next minute, your life is in jeopardy. It's just shocking. It's the kind of thing most people probably, thank God, will never have to experience.
Hmm. Also joining us today is criminal defense attorney David Figler. David, welcome back.
Hi, David.
Good to have you here. In your line of work, you are often critical of police. What went through your mind yesterday as you began to hear the details of this unfold?
Well, I think my thoughts echoed Steve Sebelius and countless other people in the community. Look, the job of a defense attorney is to challenge the police. Sometimes we criticize them quite openly. Sometimes we see what could be abuse of power in many people's eyes. But none of that matters when it comes down to understanding the very important job that the police perform, how dangerous that job is, and how tragic something like this absolutely is. I mean, if your heart and your sympathies don't go to the fallen officers' families and really the entire Metro family, you know, you are delusionally living in a community where you don't understand how things actually work. So, you know, courtroom time is one thing. It's very different when you understand the realities and the dangers of being a police officer in a large community like Las Vegas with the challenges that Las Vegas has. And this is a really sad, sad day for all of Las Vegas.
And in your line of work, you have defended people who have allegedly attacked police, but it is inevitably trying to escape, trying to get away with other crimes and such.
Sure.
As Steve just said, this is different. This was an assassination.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I can think of in recent history that comes even close to this is the Zane Floyd matter from some time ago, where an individual heavily armed went into, I believe it was an Albertsons locally, and began just basically stalking people before he was taken down. He did not kill himself, and he was tried and convicted. So, you know, that's as close as I think this community has seen. I know, you know, other parts of Nevada, recently up in northern Nevada at the IHOP, there was another situation that involved soldiers. It's just horrific. But, you know, look, I understand that there is a desire to, you know, speculate as to why people did it, why they didn't. In things like this, there are usually a number of factors at play. One can't really speculate. I know what is happening, though, for fact, is that the police and probably the FBI as well are going through and scrutinizing everything from any contact these individuals might have had previously with police or these individuals to people they were in contact with, to their patterns, to whether or not there was drug use involved, whether or not there was mental illness, whether or not there was political motivations, whether or not it was tied to other recent events in the news. I mean, there's a lot of information to sift through, and I have no doubt that the fine professionals at law enforcement, both local and national, are going to be getting more information, and that information will be doled out to the public for all of us to consume. But it does leave a lot of questions and a lot of response from a lot of different quarters as to, you know, what to do now. Certainly, if one were, and I'll just make this quick point, if one were to look at the comments in the review journal section, you find almost 7,000 comments, some of which are very still critical of the police department in ways that, you know, are really outside the line of probably the majority thought in this country. But still, you know, that voice is amplified through those comment sections. And, you know, it does call a lot of things into question that need to be addressed.
We are talking about the ambush killing yesterday of two Metro officers in what appears to have been a politically motivated killing. A third man, a bystander, was killed. And the two people believed to be the shooters were in effect in what appears to be a suicide pact as well. Their names are Jared and Amanda Miller. How have you been processing all of this for the last 22 hours or so? And what do you think it says about our community? We'd like to hear from you in this conversation. Call us and tell us your thoughts at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. We are also on Twitter. You can tweet us anytime at KNPR News or post your thoughts online at knprnews.org. Joining us now is Carmen in Las Vegas. Carmen, thank you for calling and welcome. And I understand you work security at Walmart.
No, I worked at the 99 cent store.
99 cent store. Okay.
I heard rumors that the M13 gang, well, the M13 gang in LA did get busted for extorting the food trucks.
Yeah. So what did you make of all of this, Carmen? I mean, what were you thinking and feeling as this began to unfold?
Well, I was on duty at another post yesterday when I heard about this, but I know how the clientele is in that area there. Like someone else mentioned earlier, it's a very rough neighborhood, but you've got gangs that are out of control that tell me that they've got more firepower than the police.
Yeah.
These gangsters have told me that in person. I mean, I actually had to get out of there because I wasn't safe. I was being threatened by clientele. I'm not going to mention, I don't want to get into a racial issue, but.
Right.
You know,
no, I understand that.
I'm still a white guy, you know, at least in this lifetime.
All right. Well, Carmen. Yeah. Thanks. I really appreciate your call, Carmen. Thanks very much for touching base with us. Our number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Joe Shaman, yesterday, Sheriff Gillespie ordered all patrol officers to work in pairs as an added security measure. Is that likely to continue until Metro establishes that yesterday's attack was the work of lone wolves and not a more organized conspiracy?
Yeah, I think it's not just for that reason. I think it's to, there are a lot of younger officers on patrol. I spoke with some of the senior officers yesterday who said they're going to have a difficult time explaining this and talking about this with a lot of those officers who already are had a lot of questions and fears. I mean, I know officers have a lot of power, but they're still out there alone, basically. And 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, they have to address a lot of different domestic calls and traffic stops and things like that. So it's more of a security measure, and it's a way for them to feel secure in their jobs. And I think it'll last until they feel that the officers feel better about what's going on.
Even if it turns out, though, that this pair were working alone, we know that a lot of people have tapped into militia ideology and white supremacy, the idea that the government is illegitimate. Isn't more of this kind of targeting then inevitable?
Is it inevitable? I sincerely hope not. I think, boy, that's a difficult one to, I don't even know how to answer that, except for the fact, I know there's a lot of social media talk about it. I know Metro monitors social media through data mining and that kind of thing, so maybe they can pinpoint it that way, but I hope not. That's all I can really say about it.
Steve Sebelius, these two shooters apparently made an appearance at the Clive and Bundy ranch, another protest of what critics called an overreaching federal government. So where do we draw the line between dissent and a real threat to the community that this pair ultimately proved to be? Ah, all right, we lost Steve, but we're going to try to get him back in just a second. One of the other questions that I've heard in some social media and elsewhere is, how should the police respond to this? Because it would be very tempting, I would imagine, for police officers to say, look, when citizens are shooting police at random like this, whether it's assassinations or other such things, this is a level of danger that is just, this is too much. This is kind of beyond the pale.
Well, that was one of the most interesting things about the press conference yesterday. It was when the sheriff himself addressed his reaction when people were asking him questions, sort of speculative questions. It reminded me of the time when an officer in a high speed, was traveling at high speed, crashed and died, and the sheriff came out and said it was probably a citizen's fault and that the officer had his lights on. It turned out the information was opposite that. And what I found in the sheriff yesterday was something I think we expect and we want in the sheriff, which is sort of in the face of this extremely emotional situation. He was the face of calm, rationality, and he refused to go down that path. He wanted to make sure all the facts were there. So I think that translates and trickles down to his officers as well. And from, I mean, I've seen a lot of officers today, and I get a sense that there isn't this great panic to go out and punish the world. They seem, you know, they seem to be taking that cue.
We are talking about yesterday's ambush killing of two Metro officers in what appears to have been a politically motivated killing. And we are wondering what you think about it today, what you think it may say about our community and maybe our society in general. Please call us. We want to hear from you. Tell us your thoughts at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. You can also send us a tweet. We're on Twitter at KNPR News, and we're online. You can write us anytime, knprnews.org. We'll turn first to Stan in Las Vegas. Stan, thanks for calling, and welcome to the program.
Yes, I would like to take issue with the previous caller who was, I won't say, trying to make a racial thing out of this, but he said it was a, quoting him, it was a rough neighborhood. Mm-hmm. He was a white guy. He had to get out of there. Well, first of all, let me state that the people who shot the police were white. They were not Hispanic. They were not, you know, black or any other minority.
Okay. Stan, forgive me. No, thanks for the comments just about the background of that. But what did you make of all of this yourself? I mean, how did you react, or how do you respond?
I don't live too far from there, and I was really shocked. I mean, to me, that is about as cowardly as you can get, you know, walking up behind somebody and shooting them in the back. I mean, I've been critical of the Las Vegas Police Department myself and a lot of things, because I've called in a few times we've had these shows. But I mean that's scary. It's very frightening. And I mean, I have my wife and kids. Everybody stay in the house. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. Mainly because I was afraid. Now I sound like I'm rambling here, but I was fearful that there was somebody black, and I was afraid that, well, now there's going to be retaliation and all sorts of things. But I mean, I was frightened, and it was just a terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah. Stan, thanks very much for your call. We'll turn next to David in Las Vegas. David, thanks for calling, and welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine, thank you.
Hey, I've been listening to this, and it seems to me like there is a theme going on in America where everybody is trying to delegitimize the federal government, delegitimize authority. These gentlemen are working to do a job, and this whole idea and this whole concept of fear and my Second Amendment rights to protect myself from whatever, right, seems to, you know, this whole situation has now begun to get out of control. You mentioned the Bundy issue and whatnot, and it seems to me as if this climate of fear that keeps being pressed and pushed by certain people in the media, certain organizations, as if there is some loss of some kind of one group or another, or this whole concept of I'm defending my rights when I'm taking your legitimate rights in this whole process. And the other thing I want to mention is Las Vegas is no longer a small town, but a huge city. And I find it kind of disturbing that officers are riding singly. And that's my comment.
All right, David, thanks very much for your call. 702-258-3552 is our number. Matt in Las Vegas is next. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to say that I'm new and recent resident in California, but I live about 400 meters from where the events took place. And as I check my timeline, having come out yesterday, come out of the Walmart and driven past the Cece's, I was probably driving past and returning to my home about the time the events were taking place. That stated, I just wanted to share some quick perspective, and that is that having been in the community and recognizing it, how it's aggregated, how it's put together, the earlier comment about race I don't think is really appropriate. African-Americans, blacks, and brown people, and others, Asians, all sort of function here pretty comfortably, which surprised me when I moved here. But I think what we're missing, the elephant in the room, and it's hardly ever discussed anywhere in America today because this is happening to judge us here. It's just that this is the most egregious situation so far. But what's really going on, I believe, is that we're looking at not so much race as we're looking at class and caste. We're looking at Piketty's, the outgrowth of what Piketty, the economist, talked about when you talk about a disbalance of wealth, goods, and income. And that's what we're really watching. We're watching what the banking industry did 5 or 6 or 7 years ago when they ran roughshod over 4 million American homes. And I think that's what we're watching. We're watching the pushback from that and the tumult that comes when people have had their lives disrupted.
All right. Matt, thank you very much for your call. 702-258-3552. Andy in Las Vegas is next. Andy, welcome.
Yeah, hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a retired special agent who, after I got done with my service, went to teach in a school. One young kid came up and told me, you know what, like you today, I'm going to have your father, my father's going to come back and kill you, just like these two people that heard this talk from these two individuals. Why not have some kind of system where you can report this to the police and allow them to follow up on these kind of leads? I was at the gun show yesterday when the thing occurred, thinking about purchasing a handgun because I have a hand carry. I have a concealed carry permit from another state, which is in this state allowed, and reciprocity allows me to carry it. I don't carry a gun anymore because I don't want have to use it. But in this situation in CC's at the pizza parlor and or Walmart, had these guys not committed suicide, they might have gone on a worse rampage that we never could believe, since they had apparently stolen the officer's weapons and took them with them.
So you're retired law enforcement, and you're still worried about guns.
I am worried about guns. I'm worried about guns in the hands of criminals or crazy people like these people apparently were, or politically motivated, as this alludes to be. And, you know, it's ridiculous that these people who had guns and then stole the officers' weapons, apparently, they could have really gone on a rampage with the weapons they had in their possession.
Andy, thanks very much for your call. Steve Sebelius, Andy alluded to thinking of, you know, being retired law enforcement, but thinking about purchasing a weapon to protect himself. But that leads me back to the question I asked Joe Shaneman a few minutes ago, which is, where do we draw the line between dissent and discerning a real threat to the community, which is what this pair of shooters proved to be?
Yeah, again, Dave, that's a very difficult line to draw because, you know, we saw during the Clive and Bundy incident, for example, all sorts of people out there with dissent, but they had weapons. And by one of the people's own admission in that great article by Ed Commend in the Las Vegas Sun, if a firecracker had gone off, there would have been shooting and there would have been bloodshed. And so hopefully the line is, before we are nose to nose with federal law enforcement officers and everybody has a gun, we can do that. But again, there's, you know, you have the right to have whatever beliefs that you want. But those beliefs, you know, when they turn into violent action against innocent people and certainly against law enforcement officers, we have to stop that. And I agree with Andy, who just called in, that there ought to be a way to track threats, and people make threats. You know, we can no longer take that as just talk. We can't just assume that it's just talk, because we've seen time and time again, whether it's a school shooting, whether it's a shooting like this, that those threats do lead to violent action, and so they need to be followed up on and investigated, just like the Secret Service, for example, will investigate threats against the President of the United States. We've got to take that seriously.
Tony joins us from Las Vegas now. Tony, thanks for calling and welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning to everybody. First of all, I want to send my deepest condolences and sympathy to the victims and the police officers and the Metro Police Department. I come myself from a police family from Israel. And number two, I just wanted to say that the problem we have these days in our society is, honestly, the laws that we have that are on the books are not good enough. They should be modified. These laws were for 200, 300 years ago. If it jeopardizes the civil society, the laws that we have, such as right to bear arms, that should be a privilege, freedom of speech. I mean, that's good. It's going too far today. I mean, in the Nazi Germany, swastikas are illegal, and they're pretty civilized, and they're liberal democrats. It's not taking anybody's rights away. I think we've gone too far in our society, especially in the day and age we live, with all the apps, iPhones, technology, that everybody has access to any kind of danger they can impose on other people, especially police, you know, to our officers. I honestly think we should come and sit down together as a civilized nation and talk about this subject and not hide behind it and try to score political points.
All right.
And if the politicians got together, we would have a better life, and that's all I have to say. It's just something that's really sad in our society, that the laws that we have.
Tony, thanks very much for your call. Yesterday, Sheriff Doug Gillespie concluded his press conference this way.
I say to the community, and I say to my officers, it's a tragic day. It's a very, very difficult day. But we still have a community to police, and we still have a community to protect. We will be out there doing it with our heads held high, but an emptiness in our hearts. It is truly a tragic day here in the Las Vegas Valley.
A tragic day, indeed. Joe Shaneman, what's the lesson for our community in yesterday's events? Do you see one at this point?
Maybe it is, as Steve and the caller Andy suggested earlier, is to... I mean, I wouldn't want everybody to report everything they possibly hear to Metro, but if you hear somebody talking about, you know, going to the lengths of killing, maybe there should be a way to maybe say something. I mean, I think I've heard that myself individually in areas I've covered, and I just, you know, you just think it's somebody angry blowing off steam. You know, I don't want this. I don't believe in a crackdown on First Amendment rights. I'd rather have people out there with their swastikas and everything, just so you know who they are and what they are. I don't want them hidden. I want them out there. Obviously, some people with a mental illness or whatever will take that and do what they want with it. But that's the sort of the trade-off we get for a free society and free speech. But I think there should be a way, maybe people should start paying more attention to their neighbors and what's going on around them.
David Figler, I'll give the last word to you. What do we take away from what happened yesterday?
Well, I think that there has been an increasing vigilance as we see instances like this pop up all over the world, and now Las Vegas, not immune from it, of course, is going to be more vigilant. And I would echo what Joe says. I mean, this is going to sort itself out. We're going to get more information about it. We shouldn't be rash to jump to harsher laws or greater restrictions, et cetera, but we should approach it thoughtfully. Look, Metro has been having a lot of problems in our community for a number of years now that have been kind of pushed off. Not to say that that is in any way justification for what happened. It's absolutely not. But there is a moment in time now when Metro has a great deal of sympathy and support of the community, and it would be, apart from this tragedy, a good opportunity for Metro to engender further goodwill with the community and address some of the issues that have been lingering out there so that they do have the full support. So when that vigilance does become part of our community, which obviously it will for some time, that they have the support they need. There's a lot of areas of improvement that have been talked about everywhere from local level to the DOJ. And I think that that Metro would do itself well to take pause, solve this crime, figure out what's going on here, be vigilant, of course, and then also move forward.
David Figler is a writer and criminal defense attorney. Joe Shaiman has been covering the shooting on an ongoing basis for the Las Vegas Sun. And we also talked with Las Vegas Review-Journal columnist Steve Sebelius. Thank you all very much for joining us.
Thanks, Dave.
Welcome. Thanks.